We are holding on an Alpha from Bay 6-1. We learned in the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to harvest, in general, you're not allowed to harvest grain before the Omer. But we said there were various exceptions. Among them, you're allowed to harvest from irrigated fields that are in the valleys because it's going to spoil or because you anyway can't bring the Omer from them. And a couple of other exceptions. One of them was, we said, Kosa l'shachas u'macha l'behema. You're allowed to harvest the grain while it's still very unripe. Shachas means before one-third growth. U'macha l'behema, to give it to feed to an animal. And then we had in the Mishnah like this. The Mishnah had said that as a generic statement. Kosa l'shachas u'macha l'behema. We had Rabbi Yehuda saying that applies only if you started the harvesting before the grain grew one-third. Mm-hmm. And then apparently you're allowed to continue even after it grew one-third. Mm-hmm. And Rav Shimon has said that even after it grew one-third, you're allowed to harvest it. You're allowed to harvest it in order to feed animals. Even after Havas Shlish, even after it grew one-third. So now the Gemara is going to bring, a Mishnah in Peah where we have a similar concept about Kosa L'shachas and see how that relates to, or how the opinions over there relates to our Mishnah. It's not awesome. We learn in the Mishnah in Peah. The Elam are thick in the
Peah. Opinions are not, it contradicts all
that? No, we're going to have to see. We're going to work it through, and we're going to see how we equate the various opinions over here. So, we learn in the Mishnah in Peah like this. The Elam are thick in the Peah. The following things are considered to be a break in a field as far as Peah. Come to Peah, we talked about briefly yesterday. You have to leave the edge or the corner or whatever of your field unharvested for the poor people to take. The Torah tells us that you have to give Peah from your field, implying that if you have different fields, then you need to give Peah separately from each one. So what makes things considered to be different fields? So you have, now obviously, for example, if they're growing different crops or whatever, or they're in different locations, obviously they're in separate fields, but also the Mishnah says, the Elam Mafsik and the Peah, the following things are considered to be a break in a field, as far as therefore that you have to give Peah separately from each part. A nachal, which the Gemara brings us also in Bava Basra, and Rashbam over there explains that a nachal means hard ground.
Nachal is not a river.
So that's another explanation is that a nachal is a stream. Right. So you have a similar kind of argument when it comes to the nachal esan, where you have to have with you, where you do the egla rufa, whether nachal over there, also over there you have the discussion among the Shonim whether nachal over there means hard ground or whether it means a fast flowing stream. So here it's similar kind of argument. Anyway, so that nachal, vashlulis, a Gemara in Bava Kama brings this Mishnah and brings two, the Gemara brings over there two possibilities what a shlulis is. One is that it means a place where rainwater gathers, like a depression in the ground where rainwater gathers during rainy weather, so like a sag pond or whatever they call it in English. Or the other possibility is it means an irrigation ditch. Okay, anyway. V'derech ha-yachid, v'derech ha-rabim, also a road used by individual people, which Rashi says is 4 amos wide, or a road used by public people, which would be 16 amos wide. Ushvila rabim, ushvila yachid.
Any road less than 16 amos is not kosher for rabim.
Well, so, right, well, that's a general rule, yes. That's a general rule anyway, yes. But here we're talking about, so here we have derech and we have shvil, where you have a few different explanations what the difference is between a derech and a shvil. The Rashbam over there in Bava Basra says the difference is a derech is that something that people ride on in wagons and whatever, where the shvil is something that people walk on foot. Another explanation in it, I think the Ravid brings, is that a shvil is something, is a pathway that you use to get from one field to another, whereas a derech would be more like a road or a highway or whatever that's used to get from point A to point B. Anyway, so derech hayachid, the derech harabim, so whether it's an individual road, which is 4 amos wide, or a public road, which is 16 amos, or shvil hayachid, or shvil harabim, or shvil hayachid, hakavua b'maytachama b'maytachshamim, or a path used by the public or used by individuals, but only if it's a permanent path used both in summer and in winter, because a shvil, a path, is a much narrower thing than a road, so therefore it only has a shivus as far as separating the field, only if it's used year-round. If it's the kind of thing that people only use during the summertime when the fields are empty anyway, but they don't use it during the wintertime when the fields are planted, then it's not considered enough to break up the field as far as Peah.
Bring up the seal, meaning?
Meaning that you'd have to get pay it separately from each part. Babur. Also, if you have between two parts of the field, if you have uncultivated land, bur means that it hasn't even been, that it hasn't even been plowed. Sort of like you have in Pirkei Avos, ein bur yireches, where bur over there, actually, see, you have the word bur in English also, which has basically the same meaning, although it has a different derivation. But bur over there, it means a bur means like a person who's completely empty, like he doesn't have midas tovus, and he doesn't have derech eretz, and he doesn't have, and he doesn't know any Torah. So here also, a bur means land that's completely fallow, and it's not at all cultivated.
A bur and a bur is the opposite.
Bur and a what?
And a bur.
And a bur? A bur would be a bur. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, but someone who is
a bur. Someone who is a bur is a bur stood. Okay. If he's like Rebel Eliezer, the bur stood chain him out of the jibba. Fine. He's like a plastered cistern. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Van near, or an area of the field which was plowed but not planted. The zera acher, or an area where you have some other kind of seed planted. For example, Rashi says, let's say you have a plot of wheat, then a plot of lentils, and then another plot of wheat. So that would divide up the wheat into two sections as far as the din of peah. You have to get separately from each one. And here's the key thing, which is why we're bringing this in. The kotza l'shachas mashtik zivir ameir. Rameir says also, if a person harvested some of the grain for the purpose of shachas, again, for it's unripe grain yet, and he's harvesting it on the face of it. We're talking about in order to feed to animals, but we're going to discuss that. So that also mastic, that also divides up the field, and therefore later on, when the rest of the field, when the rest of the grain matures, and he has to set aside paya, he'll have to set aside individually from each part of the field surrounding this area that he harvested for shachar. Divir a mayor, that's what a mayor says. Chacham say no, just because he harvested some of it for shachar, so unripe grain. That's not enough to make a division in the field unless he also then afterwards plowed that area, where then it becomes, we said before, that near, that an area that was plowed separates them. But if he just, the Chachamim would say that if he just did kosel l'shachas, then we would say that is the beginning of the harvesting. The same way as we would say under normal circumstances, let's say he waits until the whole field is ripe, and then he starts harvesting in the middle. You wouldn't say necessarily that divides the field into two parts as far as peah. He's allowed to start harvesting from wherever he wants. He just has to leave one end of it as peah. So the same thing, Chachamim would say over here. If he just harvested in the middle at an earlier stage of shachas, it's still considered one field, and he'd still leave one section of it as peah. Yeah. Only if he plowed over that area, then it would be considered two separate parts.
So he needs to harvest and plow?
According to the Chacham, that's, well, he wouldn't plow unless he's going to cut the grain.
If he just plowed,
well, then practically speaking, then that means the grain there has also been harvested, because it gets grain.
So that would be enough.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's analyze how that fits with the opinions in our mission. Amar Rav Baba Chana Amar Rav Yechanan, Rav Meir B'shittas Rav Shimon Amar. Rav Meir, in that Mishnah, who says that koitzel l'shachas is enough to divide the field into two, he holds, according to Rav Shimon of our Mishnah, d'amar yikzer v'yachil af mishia v'yashlish. Namely, we said in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon had said that you're allowed to harvest before the Omer, even after the grain has grown one-third. You're allowed to harvest it for feeding to animals. So we see, in other words, Rav Meir, who doesn't consider that to be, Rav Meir, who doesn't consider kosel l'shachas to be a harvesting, and therefore he, because in other words, if he held that it was considered a regular harvest, he would have to agree with the Chachamim that it doesn't divide the field as far as peah is concerned. Because again, once he started harvesting, later on he's going to harvest the rest of the field, it shouldn't be considered divided into two fields just because of that. The fact that Rav Meir is not saying that, the fact that he's saying that just the harvesting for shachas itself is enough to divide it into two fields, that means he doesn't consider that to really be a harvesting. He considers that to be sort of the equivalent of plowing it or whatever. So the Chachamim say you have to plow it as well. He's saying that can't really be considered the beginning of the harvest. That has to be considered that now he took the field and divided it into two parts.
As the Chachamim would say, it's only
a division only if he plowed the area. The fact that he says just harvesting for shachas itself is enough to divide it into two fields, that means that's not considered harvesting as far as halacha is concerned. So therefore, it's the equivalent of if he just decided now to divide it into two fields. Well, that fits with what Rav Shimon says in our Mishnah, that harvesting for shachas, while still immature, is not considered a harvest, and therefore it's allowed before the Omer. Because again, if it was considered harvesting, Rav Shimon couldn't say that it's allowed, because how could you do it before the Omer? So that's the point of comparison. Okay, Yosef Rabba v'chomel ala hashmaita. So Rabba was sitting and saying over the statement of Rav Yechanan, but Eister Rav Acha Bahuna l'Rabba. But Rav Acha Bahuna asked on Rabba, I have a contradiction. The previous one is that Rabba here would say Rabba, so I guess it's different here. Sorry, it's whatever. Anyway, I have a stira for you from a braisa in Pei. The Braisa says, Ochla Chogav, if part of the field in the middle, an area in the middle of the field, and again, when we say in the middle, what we mean is basically from one end to the other. We don't just mean a path to the middle, we mean from one side to all the way from one across the field, whatever. So if a whole line across the field was eaten up by grasshoppers, or Kirsmur Namalim, or it was eaten up by ants, Rashi explains, by the way, the expression ochla versus kirsima is locusts usually eat from the top of the stalk of grain downward. So therefore, that's called ochla. Well, but as opposed to ants, which crawl around on the ground, we're in Menachah. So therefore, they eat from the bottom of the stalk. Well, we're in Menachah. We're in Menachah. It's not a lot then. No, just turn to the back. So Rashi explains, that's why we have different expressions, ochla versus kirsima, because ochla is referring to eating from the top down, and kirsima refers to eating from the bottom up, eating the stalk, and then breaking it. Or shvarasa haruach, or another possible case, if the wind broke the stalks and knocked them down, again, in a whole line across the field, hakol moedim, then the braisa says, everybody, both the mayor and the chachamim would agree, that only if you then went and plowed that area that was eaten by the locusts or the ants or what have you, only then mastic, does it divide up the field and now you have to give separate pay from each part. Loy charash ain't a mastic. But if you didn't plow that area that was eaten up by the locusts, then it's not, that's where mayor and the chacham agree to that. So hakol moedim, now who would that be? Everybody agrees. Obviously it means man Rav Meir. Obviously that must be Rav Meir. Rav Meir, who disagreed in the previous case where he went and harvested some of it as shachas, as unripe grain, where he says that that's enough to divide the field into two as far as payah. Even he would agree in this case where it was eaten up by locusts or whatever, that that's not enough to divide it. You would need to plow that area.
Well, why do you
stand? Well, so that's the thing. So he would just say, 1 second. So, says Rav Acha Bahuna to Rav like this. You're arguing, not you, Rav Yechanan was arguing that Rav Meir over there, who holds that just harvesting for shachat itself is not considered a harvest, and therefore, in other words, it breaks up the field. Because as far as Teah, if we consider it a harvest, it doesn't break up the field. Because this means you started over here, later on you're going to continue harvesting the rest of the field, and it's still one field as far as Teah. Only if we don't consider it a harvest are we saying that, only if we say that cutting of that grain is not considered part of the harvest, would we say that it divides the field into two, which we're saying that agrees with Rav Shimon of our Mishnah, who says therefore that you're allowed to do such a thing before the Omer. But the problem with that is like this. If you say that the Mishnah that we first quoted in Peah about Kosel Lashachas, if you say that case is talking about that the grain hadn't yet grown one third, then you could say the difference is Braisa, the Chorash Ein LeChorash Loi, then the Braisa, which distinguishes between that versus the case where locusts eat it, and say that Rameo would agree in that case you have to plow it in order for it to be a separation. So you could say, very simple, the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about two different cases. The Mishnah is talking about when it wasn't yet one third grown, And the Braisa is talking about, which the Braisa says, the Chorash Ein LeChorash Loi, the Braisa which says that only if you plow the area is it a separation. You would say the Shehevi Shlish, you would say the Braisa is talking about where the grain has already grown one third, and therefore we would argue once it's one third, then definitely having some of it harvested, whether by people or whether in this case by insects, is considered the beginning of a harvest, and therefore you could say that in that case the only way that it would make a break as far as payah would be if you plowed the area, because again otherwise it's just the beginning of the harvest. So if you understand that way, then fine, but that doesn't work with saying that Rameo holds like Rav Shimon of our Mishnah. That would work better if you say Rameo held like Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah. who says that you can only harvest before it grew one-third. You want to say that the mayor agrees with Rav Shimon that even after it grew one-third, as long as you're harvesting it for shachas, as long as you're harvesting it as unripe grain, where you're not going to eat it, where animals are going to eat it, then it's okay. Then why would the mayor distinguish between whether you harvested it or whether it was eaten up by insects? Why would he say in the one case you don't need to plow it for it to be considered a separation, and in the other case you do? So Eli Yamatas, Nisim Nami.
Do you have a distinction between one-third?
Yeah, that's the point. Eli Yamatas, Nisim Nami, Shehevi Shlish. If you're going to tell me the Mishnah in Teah, where the mayor says that it's considered a separation, is talking even where you cut it for shakas after it grew one-third, well then, why would the mayor say over there you don't need to plow it, and here you do? Hashta, in fact, we should argue the other way around. Uma hosam de ksira de hosam, it says in our Gemara, but really it's supposed to be de adam. Madach in the Mishnah, where you're talking about harvesting that was done by a person, Amr of Meir loishma ksira, and yet the mayor seems to be arguing that that's not really considered part of the harvest, and therefore he would hold that it breaks up the field into two fields, and you have to give separate payah from each one. By a person, when a person harvested it. And yet the mayor is saying, even though a person actually went in there with a sickle and deliberately went and harvested it, nevertheless, the mayor is saying that's not really considered part of the harvest because it's immature grain and you're harvesting it only for animals.
But when he plows, it's a separation.
So therefore, the mayor holds you don't need plowing in that case. The Chachamim say you need plowing. But we're talking according to the mayor. Fine, but that's an indirect thing. The point is, we don't consider it. Mach koitzel l'shachas, the mach l'behemah, was the expression in our Mishnah, that you harvest the shachas for immature grain in order to feed to animals. Okay, you have different geosites, whether it's maybe two separate things, that you're harvesting it as shachas, or whether you're harvesting it more mature in order to feed to animals, but whatever. There's definitely an idea. There seems to be a distinction in our Mishnah between before one-third and after one-third, because Rabbi Huda is saying you're only allowed to before it reached one-third, and Rav Shimon is saying you're allowed to even after one-third. If you're going to tell me that a mayor in the Mishnah in Teah agrees with Rav Shimon of our Mishnah that even after one-third, as long as you're cutting it as shachas, where it's not meant for where it's not primarily meant for human beings to eat, then you're going to say that that's not considered part of the harvest, well, then why would he hold in the case where he's eaten up by locusts that it would be? Where it was a harvest done by people, and yet the mayor says that's not considered a harvest, and it doesn't consider the field is not broken up by it. Hacha, in the Braisa, where it was eaten by insects, like Hoshigan, how much more so it wouldn't be considered part of the Ksira. And yet you see, and yet the Braisa is telling us that Rav Meir agrees, that Rav Meir agrees with the Chachamim in such a case, that the part that the locust ate is still considered part of the field, therefore it's still considered one field as far as Teah, unless you plow up that area. So what's the logic?
Rav Meir is inconsistent.
So that's the thing. If we understand Rav Meir to be agreeing with Rav Shimon and saying that even after one-third, as long as you're coast of Lashachas, it's not considered harvesting, then yes, your mayor is being inconsistent. If you say that, because he's saying that if a person harvests it after one-third, he's saying, I don't consider that a harvest. It breaks up the field. But on the other hand, if insects ate it, then it is considered a harvest. What's the logic? It should be considered more a harvest if a person does it versus insects. Obviously not, but the point is, if a person had kavana and he's going and deliberately cutting stalks of grain, and yet you're telling us that it's not considered a harvest, and therefore it's considered that he's breaking up the field, and you have to give payah separately from each one, it should be all the more so if insects eat it, where there was no human agency at all. Yeah, so we can't possibly understand Rav Meir that way. And if a person harvests it for shachas, and if a person cuts it for shachas, you also can't grow anything there until next year. You're not growing anything in that area. What? No. We're talking about, in other words, that insects came and ate it and then they left. Whatever, that's not the point. The point is, obviously, you're always going to have insects around. The point is that if you harvested those stalks of grain, aren't growing again this year. You'd have to plant new ones, and that's going to be next plant.
So what are we saying? We're saying we don't understand Rav Meir?
That's the point. If you're going to understand Rav Meir to be agreeing with Rav Shimon that even after one-third it's not considered sira, then Reb Meir is being inconsistent, and we can't possibly understand it that way.
He cannot be understanding Reb Meir correctly.
Right. So therefore, we have to say that we misunderstood what Reb Meir is saying. Okay. Tosfos, by the way, asked the question. Instead of saying that the Mishnah is talking about when it's less than one third, and the Braita says it's talking about when it's already one third, why not just as well understand that the Mishnah in Peah is talking about when it's one third, and the Braita is when it's fully ripe? And Tosfos gives three answers. Why not? So one answer is that if it was fully ripe, then even plowing up that area wouldn't make a separation in the field. Because at that point, it's already fully ripe. It's meant to be harvested. Plowing it is not going to make a difference. Also, Tosfos says, because then, on the contrary, you might say that then either there's no chiddush that you need plowing in order for it to be divided into two fields, or Tosfos says, finally, that maybe there's this, once it reached one-third, which is the minimum that it can be considered fit for human beings to eat, then there's really no difference, essentially, between that and when it's fully mature. Okay. So anyway, so that's the question, and therefore, So we can't understand Reb Meir that way. We can't say that he agrees with Reb Shimon of our Mishnah that even after one third, it's still considered shachas, and it's not considered part of the harvest. Okay. Ella Reb Meir b'shitas Reb Yehuda. Rather, we have to say that Reb Meir is following the opinion of Reb Yehuda in our Mishnah. The Omar, where Reb Yehuda says, Einasai, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah had said, Koitzel v'shachas v'machal v'behema, that you're allowed to harvest. You're allowed to cut the stalks of grain while they're still immature and feed them to animals. And Rabbi Yehuda has said, "Emasai v'zman shehis kolad shalahei bishlish." Only if.
Let's see that. Yeah, fire it up.
So we said in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda had said, "Emasai, when are you allowed to cut it as shachas? Only bizman shehis kolad shalahei shlish. Only if you began doing this before it reached one third of its growth. Avalim his when are you allowed to harvest it as shachas to feed to animals? Only if you started with that before it reached one third. Avalim his kolad shalahei shlish. But if you started after it grew one third, also then it'll be also to harvest it before the Omer. Then you have to wait until after the Omer is cut or brought, as we discussed yesterday, because then it's considered already to the beginning of ripeness. Right. So the point is, in other words, so therefore, the Reb Meir, so fine. So we would have to assume then that Mishnah in Peah, where Reb Meir says that if you harvest it for shachas, it's not considered part of the harvest. Therefore, it divides the field into two, and therefore you have to get paid separately from each one. He would be talking, in fact, before it reached one-third, as opposed to the braisa that the ants would be talking about after one-third. But, so therefore, the Reb Meir would be agreeing with Reb Yehuda in our Mishnah, where Reb Yehuda in our Mishnah says that if it's less than one-third, then you're allowed to cut it before the other. No, Reb Meir is talking as far as paya. It's a separate case. But so the mayor in the Dinim of Peah is following the opinion of Reb Yehuda in our Mishnah that if it's less than one third growth, then it's not considered, then cutting it is not considered harvest yet. It's not considered kosher. Therefore, you're allowed to do it before the Omer. And, well, for both. As far as the Omer, you'd be allowed to do it before the Omer. You're not violating Reishis Tzirchem. You're not violating the first cut grain of that year should be for the Omer. And as far as Peah, that it's not part of the harvest. And therefore, you've broken up the field into two fields. Okay, the problem is with that. Amor Deshama Play Rabbi Yehuda Labahema. Okay, fine, but you see Rabbi Yehuda saying in our Mishnah that's true, that's not considered part of the kosher if he's harvesting it to feed to an animal. Adam Mishama Play. Where do you ever see that Rabbi Meir
mentioned it?
Rabbi Yehuda had said, Rabbi Yehuda hadn't, that's the thing. We had in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama had said, Kosel Vashachas Macha Labahema. That you can cut it for shachas to feed to an animal. And Rabbi Yehuda said, when is that? When are you allowed to for the purpose of an animal? Only if it's ad shalahei shlish. We have a general rule, Rashi points out, whenever Rabbi Yehuda says something in a Mishnah that begins with emasai, he's not arguing with the previous opinion, he's explaining it, he's clarifying it. So therefore, you find that Rabbi Yehuda is saying as far as harvesting to feed to an animal, sure. La'adam yishamat lay. Where do you ever see that Rabbi Yehuda says that if you're harvesting it as shachas for people to eat, that it shouldn't be considered part of the cost there. Whereas the mayor in the Mishnah and Peah had just mentioned generically the kosel l'shachat. He didn't say nothing about behemoth over there. So it could equally well mean where you're harvesting it when it's extremely unripe, fine, let's say before 1/3, but not in order to grind up to flour, fine, it wouldn't be worthwhile to do that, but in order to toast it and make cloyes, to make toasted kernels out of it. So in that case, then Rabbi Meir is not necessarily agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is saying specifically, because Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is specifically talking about where you need to feed it to an animal, then we could say that's not part of the kosher, therefore you're allowed to do it before the oil. Whereas Rabbi Meir would be saying, apparently, that even if you're harvesting it for people to eat, then it's not considered part of the kosher. That's not the same thing.
Because
it doesn't specify. Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, if you were going to understand it that way, you would have three different opinions of Tanoim over here. You would have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir, three separate opinions. The problem with that is that then Rabbi Yehuda comes out as arguing with the Tanakama of our Mishnah. And we know that whenever Rabbi Yehuda says Amosai, he's not arguing, he's explaining. So it can't really be that he's disagreeing with the Tanakama of the Mishnah. Okay. So we can't understand Rabbi Meir that way. Okay, so we have to try another possibility. Elaki also Rav Dini Yomar, when Rav Dini came from Eretz Yisrael, he said Rabbi Meir b'shitas Rabbi
Shimon.
Rabbi Shimon can, of course, Rabbi Shimon can have an opinion of his own, but Rabbi Yehuda, who's saying Amosai in our Mishnah, has to be agreeing with the Tanakama, who says that we're talking specifically in order to feed to an animal. So Rabbi Yehuda, who's saying that you're allowed to cut it as shachas, also has to be talking about to feed it to an animal. And therefore, you can't say that Rabbi Meir, who said generically that cutting it for shachas is not considered part of the kosher, which implies even if it's to feed the people, that it shouldn't be considered kosher. It's not the same thing. Now, so Elaki also Rabbi Dimi, when Rabbi Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Rabbi Meir b'shitas Rabbi Akiva Gaboi Omra. What it is Rabbi Meir, his opinion in the Mishnah and Peah follows the opinion of his own Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva. Afla Adam Nami Lo Havik Sira. Namely, that Rebbe Akiva holds that even if you harvest unripe grain for people to eat, is also not considered part of the kosher. Is also not considered part of the harvest, and therefore, as far as the dinim of Peah, it would break up the field into multiple fields, and as far as the Omer, you would be able to do it before the Omer. So the mayor, who says that any kind of of a shachat, any kind of harvesting of unripe grain breaks the field into two, he would be going according to Rabbi Akiva. It's not. Even for people. Because the mayor is a Talmud, Rabbi Akiva is a Rebbe. So, what could be? Okay, we're not talking tomatoes, we're talking about grain over here. Okay, sometimes certain produce they pick green, that's true. Okay. Ditzan, namely we learn in another Mishnah in Peah, Hamenamer Soda, if somebody makes his field spotted, which means that he harvests only some parts of it, some rows of it or whatever, so now afterwards, once he's done, it looks like it's spotted, some parts are cleared and some parts are not. The Shir by Klochim Lachim, and so what it is he left the stalks of grain that are still moist, that are still not completely grown and dry out. Then Rabbi Akiva on the Peah l'cholachadachad. Rabbi Akiva says in that case he's going to have to leave Peah for each area separately because each area is broken up from the other one by these areas where he harvested in the middle. The Chum say no, it's still considered one field, and you only have to give Peah in one area for the whole field. And the Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, now Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, you should know this that Rabbi Akiva is saying, Hamanamer, is talking about Loi Chiyiv Rabbi Akiva Elabim Menamer Lekloyes. When does Rabbi Akiva say that it breaks up the field, and therefore you have to give Peah separately from each one, is we're talking about what's this Menamer that he did, what is it that he harvested some parts and not others, is where he did it, Minamer, as he said, where like he makes spots in the field, spots that are harvested and spots that are not, right? But when is that? Only if he did it for cloyes, meaning though that he's doing it in order to toast the grain when it's still unripe and then have people eat it. But Rabbi Akiva would say, says Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva would say that if he's doing this partial harvest, La oyster, in order to store it away in his granary, where there Rashi explains we're talking about where it's completely ripe, and Tosfos is talking about where it's one third grown, as opposed to before, Laquaius would be where it's less than one third grown. Anyway, so then Loi, then Rabbi Akiva would say that not, if it's completely ripe, if he's harvesting the ones that are completely ripe, and or according to Tosfos one third ripe, planning in order to store them away, not just to toast them as unripe grain eat them, then Loi, then Rabbi Akiva would not say that. He would agree with the Chachamim then and say that the whole field, he wouldn't say that it's separate fields now. He would say that now it's still considered one big field because that's the beginning of the harvest, and So therefore, Rav Meir, who said before, Kosel l'shachas mastik, that if you harvest it as shachas, then it breaks up the field, that would be like what Rabbi Akiva is saying. And therefore, each individual part is subject to paya, as opposed to the whole field, and you put a, and you'll be paya in one corner of it, in one edge of it, whatever. So Rabbi Akiva, Rav Meir holds like Rabbi Akiva, where we just saw that Rabbi Akiva also makes such a distinction between before one third and after one third.
No, but he doesn't distinguish between Klaus and not Klaus.
No, but that's the point is, Rabbi Akiva is holding, even if you're doing it for Klaus, which is for human consumption, it's still not considered Ktira. Again, if Rabbi Akiva had considered at the beginning of the Kotzer, then Rabbi Akiva would have to agree that the whole field was still considered one field. Because when it comes, okay, again, we have to stress like this. When it comes to Peah, if you're harvesting beginning, let's say, from the middle of the field, if what you're doing is considered a harvest al halacha, then it still doesn't break up a field into separate fields. Because fine, you're entitled to start harvesting your field wherever you want. Yeah, so as long as you leave peah at one end, then you're good. When we talk about this whole business of mafik and lepeah, what we're talking about is what you did considered harvesting al halacha. Now, Rabbi Akiva is saying that the case of menamer, that this case of picking of harvesting parts and not other parts, breaks it up into separate fields, that must mean he holds that kind of thing is not considered harvesting. And he's saying, as Rabbi Yehuda explains in the name of Shmuel, that even if he's doing this for the purpose of kloyas, for people to eat, then it's still not considered a harvest because it's so immature, because it's less than one third grown. So therefore, the mayor who talks about kosel l'shachas also holds the same way. So in other words, no, but it is. That's the shachas is when it's less than one third. At that point, it is possible to take such grains and dry them and toast them and dry them out and whatever and eat them that way. So therefore, but Rabbi Akiva would say the key thing, unlike what we were talking before, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the difference is whether you're harvesting it for people to eat or for animals to eat. Rabbi Akiva isn't making such a distinction. The only distinction he's making is between before one third and after one third. So therefore, Rabbi Meir, who says kosel l'shachas mastik, is holding the same way. As long as it's shachas, as long as it's less than one third, then it's not considered part of the harvest, even if you're doing it for people to eat. So there you go. Okay, so Gemara asks,
v'ha. Now we're saying Rabbi Meir.
Well, so we're saying Rabbi Meir is following Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Right?
Rabbeinu
was a Talmud of Rabbeinu. Okay, the problem with that is, Vahaki also Ravin Omar, but when Ravin came, we often have in Gemara that Ravdimi will have come, as we said a few lines ago, and report something, and later on Ravin will come and give a different report of how it's supposed to be. So when Ravin came, Omar Rabbi Yechanan, he said, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, no, Machayev Hoyer Rabbi Akiva after Minam Eloiser, that no, Rabbi Akiva holds, even if he's harvesting only certain parts, when it's more mature, completely mature according to Rashi, or one third according to Tosfos, even then Rabbi Akiva would hold that that's not considered the beginning of the harvest yet. Therefore, it breaks up the field, and therefore separate payers for each one.
But after so one third, is
after
long.
One, that's the point. Even when he's doing it la'oisa, even when he's doing it to store away, because the fact is he did it in different areas. But the answer is, in that case, we can't say Rav Meir completely agrees with Rabbi Akiva. The answer is, okay, he agrees with Rabbi Akiva about the case where it was less than one third. He disagrees with him in one case where it was more than one third, where Rabbi Akiva would say that still breaks up the field, and Rav Meir would say in that case when it's more than one third, it doesn't break up the field.
And what's the difference against the story,
So then, according to the mayor, it wouldn't make a difference. It's strictly before one third and after one third. according to Corn Sarah Akiva, the key thing is he's harvesting in different places in the field as opposed to going in an orderly way through the field. Okay.
So for the Akiva to consider it a harvest, he
well, not according to Sarah Akiva, for it to be considered a harvest, it would have to be that he's going in order.
He has to go in order throughout the whole
apparently,
field.
Apparently, okay, I mean, Tosfos points out we could have, when we tried before to make Reb Meir work according to Reb Shimon, we could have given a similar answer that he agrees with Reb Shimon partially, but not completely. But the Gemara chose to use this answer only over here because the fact is Reb Akiva is Reb Meir's Rebbe, and therefore we would rather try to make Reb Meir work as much as possible according to Reb Akiva. If we have to say he disagrees with him on one point, fine, but that's different than not on right. Well, I mean, Teya, is one of the mitzvot tefluyos ba'aretz, so it applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Yes, a Jewish farmer in Eretz Yisrael has to give Teya. And in Chutz La'aretz, first of all, those of us who don't have farms, it's a moot point, but even in Chutz La'aretz, what? In Eretz Yisrael, yeah, it's one of the mitzvot tefluyos ba'aretz. Huh. Yeah.
It's still good. Right?
As far as I know.
Even when it's a goy that owns the field?
If a goy owns the field, that's different. So you can't very well force him to keep him. There's no issue on eating fruits that are kalayim. The issue is on grafting together branches from different trees. Once a fruit has been produced that's kalayim, you're allowed to eat it.
How do you do it?
I mean, how do you do it? If a goy does it, let's say, or whatever. But you did it by vera, I don't know. Okay. Let's go on. Okay.
Can you
say
even though
let's say for example, that's how you're allowed to eat nectarines, for example. Nectarines or all kinds of other hybrids. This is a whole side topic that I don't want to get too far into it, but the way that they make hybrids of fruits is not actually by grafting a branch from one tree onto another. They graft branches from one tree onto another for other purposes. For example, in order that this way you have a strong trunk for the branch to grow on, whatever it is, anyway. But it can be within closely related species. But the point is, if you take, let's say, a branch, I don't know, let's say you take a branch from an apple tree and graft it onto a pear tree, you're not going to get an apple-pear hybrid. The way you hybridize them is by pollinating the flowers of one with the pollen of the other. Well, that's not considered kalayim in halacha. You can pollinate between plants all you want. That's not the issur kalayim. The issur kalayim, when it comes to trees, it's strictly grafting, taking a branch from one and attaching it to another tree. So in that case, then, the ones that they make of hybrids are not made by a process that halacha would worry about as kalayim.
So actually, you could have a fruit that is kalayim and from one species, but you wouldn't recognize it.
If from one species.
If you want to say a pear with an orange tree,
they're not going to. It's not going to taste because they're completely different. They're unrelated species.
Okay, with an apple tree.
Yeah.
So what's going to grow?
So I don't know what's going to grow exactly, but whatever it is, the halacha says you're not allowed to do such a thing. But the fruit that grows from it, you're allowed to eat. Okay. Anyway, that's another thing. Okay.
Fine. Yeah.
Or there's a whole different thing. Okay. Fine. The Mishnah says, "Kotsun mepanatias." Another case we said where you're allowed to harvest before the omer is where you have young trees planted over there, which we said, and Rashi had said on the Mishnah, two reasons why you'd be allowed to. One is because you anyway can't bring the omer from such a field, and we have the general rule that any kind of field that you couldn't possibly bring the omer from, you're allowed to harvest before the omer. And the other explanation is because we're talking about in order to avoid the issue of kilayim, because kilayim between trees and plants, between trees and grain, for example, involves where they're too close together. So like this, you had a field of grain, and then some trees started growing in there. So you want to uproot some of the grain around the trees in order to avoid a problem with kalayim. So then you're allowed to. Or with nebesa ezel, you're also allowed to harvest grain in order to make room for a place for avelim, to do nichum avelim. Or with nebesa medresh, or for the sake of so people would have room to learn Torah. But my time, why are all those things allowed? Because sirchem al merachmana, because the pasuk says you're the first of your harvest has to be the omer, implying the like to mitzvah as opposed to harvesting that's done for a mitzvah, like in these cases, or in the first case, again, it's not necessarily because of a mitzvah, it may be because it's like the Beis HaShulchan, it's like the valley where you anyway can't bring the omer from, but the point is, at least as far as the Beis HaEvel and the Beis HaMedrash, the reason is because you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. There is, by the way, a little bit of discussion among the Rishonim about the question, is Nichum Avelim a mitzvah daraita? Now you have the Rambam, for example, holds. It's not, well, so that on the face of it, from all Gemara, it seems, yes. The Rambam, for example, writes that it's not a separate mitzvah. It's not a separate one of the 613 mitzvahs. However, it's included in the general concept of the Avodah HaKamayim. Rabbeinu Yonah holds. So according to the Rambam, it is. The Rabbeinu Yonah holds. It's actually a separate mitzvah daraisa. So did you come away on the basis of a pasuk in Yisrael? But you have Rishonim who learn that it is
right.
But you have other Rishonim who learn that it is the Rambam. So they would have to explain. Nevertheless, though, the fact is that Ksir Mitzvah includes anything which you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah, even a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Even a mitzvah d'rabbanan, the fact is it's still a mitzvah. You're not doing it for your own personal purposes. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, v'lo yasek kris, so even in these cases where you're allowed to harvest before the Omer, you shouldn't make them into bundles, tying them together. Al-manicham tzvasim, you just leave them as untied bundles or fistfuls or whatever of grain. My time, I know why is that. The time of the actual white chasinin, because whatever is possible, whatever you don't have to do before the Omer, don't go, you shouldn't be going to the tircha of doing it before the Omer. Try to make as much of a shinui as possible. So like this, to harvest it in order to make room for these things, fine, but to bind it up, that you don't need to do. To harvest it, to just cut the grain in order to make room for Beis HaEvel or Beis HaMedrash or whatever, that's fine, you're allowed to do. But to bind it up into bundles, that you don't necessarily have to do.
Well, kind of.
I mean, the idea is you're not supposed to harvest before the Omer, so the part that you have to do for the sake of the mitzvah, fine. The part that you don't have to do, which that you could just as well leave till after the Omer, leave it that way till after the Omer. Well, that's it.
Because
you're not harvesting. No, I don't know. Because it looks like, or because I don't know. Because you're not supposed to harvest before the Omer. So like this, an exception is made for the part that's necessary for the mitzvah, but not more than that.
Bundling is part of harvesting.
Okay, but it's another stage. Again, we had the discussion the other day also whether we make a gzeira that you might come to eat from it while you're handling it. So that also comes into play. Yeah. Okay. Then we said mitzvah to Omer lovim in a comma. We said the last part of the Mishnah said like this. Ideally, the Omer should be brought from grain which was standing, and then you harvested it for the sake of the mitzvah. But if you don't have any of that, then you can bring from grain that was previously harvested. Also, ideally, it should be fresh, but if not, then it can be dry.
Standing grain
that's actually currently growing, and then you harvest it for the sake of the mitzvah. Yeah. And then it's supposed to be from fresh grain, but if not, then you bring dry. The ideal mitzvah, the Mishnah says, is to harvest it at night, but it's kosher if it was harvested during the day, and we said it's doicha shabbos. So now we're going to discuss those points. Turn it up on them. We learn in a braisa. Now, it's like this. The pasuk starts off in Parashas Vayikra, when the pasuk that mentions over there about bringing the omer, which we quoted this pasuk a number of times already in this parak, the pasuk says like this, the imtaklis minchas bikurim Hashem, when you bring a minchas bikurim for Hashem, Aviv, which should be fresh grain, or barley, we learned before that Aviv means fresh and it means barley, kolori ba'esh, roasted in the fire, geref caramel, ground up into fine flour from the fresh grain, kakrivet minchas bikurecha, that's how you should offer your minchas bikurim. So, it says twice in that pasuk kakriv. So v'im takriv minchas bikurim, not tamad lima. So why does it say v'im takriv when later on in the pasuk it says takriv minchas bikurecha? So it's like this, lafish mitzvah to omer loving in a comma, given that ideally the omer is supposed to be from grain that's on the stalk, that's standing, growing in the field, and then you harvest it for the mitzvah. Minayin, how do we know the dinin on Mishnah, shein le'matzim in a comma, yovim in a omer, that if you can't find any that's growing right now, then you bring from what was previously harvested and then tied up into bundles.
Yavim
in a oimrim. Then you bring from bundles that were already bundled up. Talmud Lomar Takriv. That is why the pasuk tells us Takriv, meaning regardless you have to be makriv, even if you don't have that newly grown. Dabra Acha, another explanation. Takriv means l'fisha mitzvah l'havim in a lach. The proper mitzvah is that it should be fresh, because the pasuk said caramel, and we learned earlier in the parak that caramel means very fresh. Minayin,
it comes from a previous crop, then it's not that fresh.
That's the point. Well, no. Okay, but what we mean is mina oimer. In other words, if it comes from grain that was harvested, let's say before Pesach, that's the point. So no. In other words, there's two different things. Okay, so one second. Hold on. Chama means that it should be standing in the field.
Fine.
But we also learned in the parak before that ideally it should come from as close as possible to your shalayim. Because you don't want it to dry out on the way from the field to the Beis HaMikdash. If not, so we have the story over there where it came from Gag HaTzifid, where they had no choice. They had to go all the way to Gag HaTzifid to find it, and by the time it was brought, the point still remains. The fact is, by the time it was brought to Yerushalayim, it wasn't so fresh anymore. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, the Braita is telling us that's still allowed. That the point is, not the hak or not the point is, we need to be told that such a thing is valid. After all, mitzvaseh lovim in Allah, and the fish of mitzvah lovim in Allah, or minayin shem lemotim in Allah, yovim in Ayyavish, how do we know if you don't find fresh, then you bring dry? Talmud loimah takriv. Again, that's why the pasuk says takriv, meaning regardless, you have to be bringing the korban. Dover Acher, another explanation, takriv, the fish of mitzvaseh lichtav alayla. Now the mitzvah, the ideal way is that...
But it can be yavet, it can be yavet.
Yes, and the same thing. It should be minakom, alach tchila, but it can be minakom. Dover Acher, takriv, the fish of mitzvaseh lichtav alayla. The mitzvah is that it should be harvested the night before the omer, as we learned earlier in the parak. Minayim shem nichtav ayoyim kosher. How do we know if it was harvested during the day it's kosher? Again, talmud loimah takriv, therefore again it's a takriv. The takriv means that regardless you bring it, even if you don't have these various things. And again, we have a general rule anyway that says by Kovanus that unless it says something twice, then it's not ma'akiv, so that's what we learn from the word takriv that these things are not ma'akiv. Okay. The doicha is the Shabbos. How do we know also that it overrides Shabbos, meaning that the korban itself is brought on Shabbos? Again, talmud lema takriv. Takriv kol shehu, so the bottom line means is, takriv means you bring it regardless. Takriv mikol makom, you bring it in all cases. Takriv after the b'shabbos, takriv after the b'tumah. The word takriv teaches us no matter what happens, you're bringing that korban.
It's kind of an overuse
of
the word.
Yeah, it's kind of an, no, but we're not learning separate, kol shehu means actually says achmina omrim, meaning even from bundles of grain that were previously harvested. Not that request.
Still a new use of takriv.
Okay, so we mentioned a number of things, and that's what summarizing. The Bryce is summarizing over here. The bottom line is the word takriv means regardless. Okay. So that's where we know the dinim of Amish. Okay, so now we said nixta bayom kosher. So now one of the things that our Mishnah had said, and that this Bryce just said, is that if it was harvested during the day, it's kosher.
The Yevet,
obviously. So the question is, well, it's none. But we learn it in that can't be, because we learn it in a Mishnah in Megillah. The Mishnah has a long, first you have a long list of mitzvahs over there that are only kosher if they're done by day. You have like 20 different things. And then the Mishnah says, here's a list of things that can only be done anytime during the night. And it says, kol ha'layla kosher l'ksiras ha'omer. The entire night is kosher for harvesting the omer, or lahaktu chalavim ve'evorim, and also the whole night you can be burning the fat and limbs of korbanos on the mizbeach. And the Mishnah finishes off, zachval, the general rule is like this, dover shemitzvaseh kol hayom, any mitzvah where the mitzvah can be done during the day, for example, Rashi says shechting the korban, sprinkling the blood, and like I said, the Mishnah gives a list of like 20 different things over there. Kosher kol hayom, such mitzvahs are kosher the entire day. Even things like a chili, you should be doing them first thing in the morning, but they're kosher if they're done any time during the day. Just blowing shofar, taking lulav, many, many examples. Okay, and dover shemitzvot of alayla, and continues the Mishnah, anything that the mitzvah of it is to be done by night, kosher kol alayla, is kosher throughout the night. Again, meaning, in other words, the harvesting of the omer. Ideally, it's done as soon as possible after Matzah Yatsiv, but if you do it any time during the night, it's still kosher. But the implication is davka by night. Davka by night. Katoni layla drumya d'yoyin. So the Mishnah is comparing the night to the day, meaning ma d'yoyin b'layla loy, the mitzvahs that we say that have to be done by day can only be done by day, and if they're done by night, they're possible. You bring a korban by night, for example, if possible. After Laila Bayom Nami Loi, so it should be vice versa, right? Siras Omer, which is saying has to be done by night, can only be done by night, not by day. And here it says, and we just say, and our Mishnah, and the Braita that we just quoted, say that, yes. So what is it? So we have a contradiction. Omer Rabba, like Kasha, Horevi Vaharaba Laws of Rav Shimon. The answer is, you have the two different Mishnayas, one is according to Revi, and one is according to Rabba Laws of Rav Shimon. The Mishnah in Megillah that says that implies that it's kosher davka by night is according to the laws of Rav Shimon. Our Mishnah, which says that it's kosher by day, would be according to Rebbe. Before we continue with the discussion, by the way, Tosfos points out over here, so who is the halacha like? Tosfos says the halacha would be like the Mishnah in Megillah, like the laws of Rav Shimon. Which is negeah, therefore, not just as far as harvesting the omer, it's also negeah as far as the whole question of a person misses the omer by night, can they do it by day? Udiu, and last week, we had a toast, we discussed a toast with, that brought from the Bahag, from our local Zolus, that says that if you missed it by night, you can do it by day, even with a bracha, and toast disagrees with that on the basis of our Gemara over here, that halacha must be like Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon, that it's possible if it was harvested by day, and by the... He's the son of Rav Shimon, yeah. And therefore, that the halacha would also be that you can't count straight up to Omer by day. And if you do, then you don't. And then it wouldn't count. You miss the day of straight up to Omer. That's why we have the halacha and Shulchan Aruch is kind of a compromise between them. We count by day without a bracha if we miss by night, but you can still continue counting afterwards with a bracha according to the Baha'i Shita. Anyway,
do we follow it?
We follow that's the thing. We follow a hybrid of the two opinions. We don't make a bracha if we count by day because Tosfos is saying you're not allowed to count by day. But if you miss the night and you count it during the day, you can still continue on the following night with a bracha because Sfirat HaOmer nowadays is only did Rabbanan and it's a Sfirat did Rabbanan. That's not a Zelt. Everybody holds that. Okay. So anyway, so the point is, our Mishnah is according to Rebbe. The Mishnah in Megillah is according to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. The Tanya, as we know, we learn in a Braita as follows. Suppose that a Kohen is standing over there and offering the Minchas HaOmer, offering the Koimitz of it on the back, the Nitmeis, and as he's working with it, it became Tomei. So it depends. In Yesh Acheres, if there's another one available, meaning if there's other barley available, that can be harvested and ground up and whatever that day, on Tazayin Nisan, Omer Loi Hovi Acheres Tachel, then fine, we tell him, bring that other one, because even if we argue Tumah Hutra B'Sibur, still, you're not going to try, you're not going to go and be massive a carbon that's Tomei. Clearly, you should be replacing it with another one. This is according to Rebbe. If there's other barley available, if they're able to go out of your Shalayim right now and find another stand of barley and harvest this and then do all the processing with it and still be able to bring that Omer that day, then good. The in lab, and if not, Omer Loi Hevi Pikeach Ushtos. If not, then we tell the Kohen, be smart and keep quiet and don't say anything. In other words, fine. People won't realize that it's Tomei, but don't say anything. Don't say anything. The Kohen will end up eating it, but it doesn't matter. Which actually, now, how could that be? How can you allow the Kohen to eat it when it's Tomei? So Shita Mekubetis points out, the reason is, because when we say over here that Benisme, we're talking about he was standing and being makriv and it became Tomei, means only he knew that it became Tomei. But therefore, basically, he's an Eidah. So we tell him, in other words, you don't have to go and speak up. You're only an Eidah. Of course, if you want to tell, you would be Naaman, but you don't have to, because you're the only one who knows about it anyway. So therefore, keep it to yourself, and we'll pretend it didn't happen. No, but that's therefore. So that's why. Because if there's only one person who says, if there's only one person who's saying that something happened, then it didn't really happen, so to speak. You need two agents. If you had two agents, that would be different.
And they can eat it themselves?
No, what does that have to do? No. Okay, divrei Rebbe. All of that is according to Rebbe. That you could replace it if you need to. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, Omer. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says no. Ben kach or ben kach, Omer lo hevet b'keach v'shtoik. Either way, we tell them be smart and keep quiet about it. Meaning whether there's other barley available to be harvested or not. Because any Omer that was cut not according to the mitzvah, meaning the night before, also. In other words, according to him, there is no substitute barley that you could get. Because by now it's by day, because that's when you bring the carbon Omer, and it's too late to harvest any other barley. So there we go. We see that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is the one who says that you can only do it by night, and if you didn't do it by night, then you can't replace it. And Rebbe is the one who's saying you could replace it by day if you had to. So again, our Mishnah that says that if it's harvested by day, it's kosher, is a Chuan to Debbie, and the other one is Chuan to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Okay.
Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says that
if it's harvested by day, it's kosher. The carbon is Tomei, but yeah, nevertheless, he still has to, yeah.
It
I mean, Tumah Toya, or Tumah Hutra, or Toya, as the case may be, but Sibur, and since in any case, there's only one aid, then we don't, he's not required to go, he's not required to go and tell him. No, but that's the thing. Because he's only one aid, effectively it didn't happen. For something to have happened in halacha, you need two aids. Okay. Even though he himself knows, fine. Yeah. Okay. So okay, maybe he himself should be from it. I don't know. Because Knedlach usually means that it was made with Machmir, which means it would be Gebrach. So even though these weren't actually Knedlach made from that, nevertheless it was Machmir because of the terminology. Okay. I don't know. All right. But now let's analyze this opinion. Amar Rabbi Baba Chana, Amar Bechnan, Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Shimon, Beshitas, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shal Aviv Amar. This opinion of Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Shimon, that the Omer can only be cut from the ground the night before, not by day, that follows the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who is the Rebbe of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Loza's father. So Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Shimon's father is Rabbi Shimon, by Achari. His Rebbe was Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Shimon is following Rabbi Akiva's opinion in this. It's not. Namely, we learn in a Mishnah in Tzachim, Klal Amar Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva said a general rule. The original case where Rav Akiva is talking about it actually is the original case actually is not in Tzachim. The original one is in Shabbos, talking about as far as the dinim of Mila. That we know Mila. We know that Mila is done on the eighth day. We know that Mila is done on Shabbos if it's the eighth day. But sometimes there could be, for example, there could be machshire mila that has to be done. For example, it might be that you forgot to bring a knife before Shabbos.
Oh,
you
for
one to one time. Hold on. Reb Shimon didn't say nothing about this yet. Wait. No, we didn't. No. Okay. But let's say, for example, you have a bris to do on Shabbos and you realize you don't have a knife. Are you allowed to bring a knife, let's say, through the Shosarabim on Shabbos? Rabbi Eliezer in Shabbos over there, and in Tzachim, and in various other places, says yes. Any mitzvah that's Dorich HaShabbos, the Machshirim, the prerequisites for it, are also Dorich HaShabbos. Rabbi Akiva says no. Only the mitzvah itself, and anything that had to be done that day, and couldn't possibly have been done before, is Dorich HaShabbos, but not any of the prerequisites. A knife, you don't have to bring a knife on Shabbos. Make sure you have the knife there before Shabbos. If you don't have it there before Shabbos, tough luck. Postpone the bris to Sunday. That's what Rabbi Akiva holds. Slal Omer Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said a general rule: Kol Malacha She'ef Shaloi Lasois Me'er Shabbos. Any Malacha that could have been done before Shabbos, Ein Adurcha to Shabbos, does not override Shabbos. So in this case, with a knife, for example. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva would apply that as far as the harvesting of the Omer over here. And so first of all, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva as far as that rule. So not like Rabbi Eliezer that machshirei mitzvah are derech Shabbos, but rather like Rabbi Akiva that not. And also, v'savol like Rabbi Shmuel, also Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon holds in a certain aspect, like Rabbi Shmuel, d'ama k'tziras ha'omer mitzvah, where he says that harvesting the omer is a mitzvah, in other words, that it is done on Shabbos, that it has to be done on Shabbos.
What do you mean by mitzvah?
In other words, that it can't be postponed, but also, in other words, not like we said earlier on in the Mishnah and earlier on our Amud, that if you don't have, if you can't find fresh standing grain, then you use grain that was already previously harvested. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't hold that way. Rabbi Shmuel holds that specifically the harvesting of the Omer itself is part of the mitzvah. And therefore, that itself is Dorech HaShabbos. Namely, the Tanan. We learn in a Mishnah in Shavuot, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. You have a pasuk in Parashat Kitita that says you work for 6 days, Vayom Shavuot Tishvos, Bachorish Uvakosir Tishvos. You should rest from plowing and from harvesting. Now, what does that mean? I mean, those are two of the Malachot Shabbos, but okay, you got 39 Malachot Shabbos. Why is it singling those out? So Rabbi Shmuel explains. So you have different tanoim. You have a machloekas and the Mishnah and Shavuot over there. Is that referring to something having to do with the dinim of Shnita, or does it have to do with the dinim of Shabbos? Rabbi Shmuel holds it has to do with Shabbos, and what it's teaching us is like this: Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Ma Chodesh Rishulis. What the Torah is teaching you is the similarity between plowing and harvesting. Namely, just like plowing is always Rishulis, there's never a case where you have a mitzvah to plow a field. Because even when it comes to the omer, there's no particular mitzvah. Obviously, you need a field to be plowed in order to grow barley for the omer, but the plowing is not part of the mitzvah. If you found a field that was already plowed just by a farmer in order to grow his own crop, you allowed the plants and barley for the omer there. There's no particular mitzvah to plow it specifically l'shem mitzvah the omer. So chodesh is always the shurus, ach kotzi the shurus. So says Rabbi Shmuel, the comparison in the pasuk is teaching you that the kind of harvesting that's also on Shabbos is also the kind which is the shurus, which is not a mitzvah. Yotik, Sir Ha'omer, Shi Mitzvah, as opposed to harvesting the Omer, which is part of the Mitzvah, and therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says that overrides Shabbos.
Because
we said that, because the Kotzer of the Omer is not similar to Chorish. When the Pasuk is telling you, B'chorish of a Kotzer Tishvos, it's telling you that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to ever do plowing, because there's no plowing which would be a Mitzvah on Shabbos, And what kind of harvesting, what kind of cutting of grain are you not allowed to do on Shabbos? The kind that's also like plowing a reshus where there's no mitzvah involved.
And the Omer the Rish.
With the Omer the Rish. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel holds that harvesting is part of the mitzvah.
And therefore, we push off
Shabbos. So therefore, it can be done on Shabbos. Right. Now, so in other words, the point is, so what do we mean when we say that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon agrees with Rabbi Akiva and also agrees with Rabbi Shmuel? It means like this. The Eastakadaijah Nikta Shaloik Mitzvate Kosher. If you're going to tell me that even if the barley for the Omer wasn't harvested according to the mitzvah, that wasn't harvested the night before, that it's still kosher, am I Dachi Shabbos? And why would it be Dachi Shabbos? After all, if we hold like Rabbi Akiva, that any Machshire mitzvah that could have been done before Shabbos can't be done on Shabbos, then we would just say Nikta Erev Shabbos, and you would say harvested on Erev Shabbos, even if Kesayin Nisim comes out on Shabbos. The fact that Rabbi Shmuel says that it's Doicha Shabbos, and that we're saying Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon agrees with Rabbi Akiva, that the only kind of malacha that can be done on Shabbos is the kind that is necessary for the mitzvah, that has to be done for the mitzvah itself that day, that couldn't have possibly been done earlier, unlike, for example, bringing a knife for a milah. And Rabbi Shmuel is the one who states that the harvesting of the Omer is part of the mitzvah. So therefore, Elamid Dachi Shabbos, since Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon agrees that harvesting the Omer can be done on Shabbos, obviously Shmaminon Mikta Shalaikim is Vase Possel. Obviously, therefore, he must be saying that if it was done any time before Shabbos, it would be possible. The only choice is that Zayin Nissen comes out on Shabbos, the only time it can be done is Friday night. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva, that's according to Rabbi Shmuel. And therefore, he's going to say, Rabbi Akiva is going to say, well, that's an example of a prerequisite for a mitzvah that has to be done on Shabbos, just like a milah itself, because it couldn't have been done before.
Because it's a mitzvah.
Because it's part of the mitzvah. And because, well, the point is not because it's part of the mitzvah, and because it dafka has to be done that night, it can't be done any earlier or any later. So that's where we get. In other words, that we're saying, that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says, if it's done any earlier than that night, or if it's done any later, maybe it's done the next morning, it would be possible, that's based on, then now we understand the basis for his opinion. Okay. So the question is, in that case, you're telling me that only Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds that concept, that means Rebbe wouldn't agree with that. The Rebbe lav Talmid of Rabbi Shimon, who? Isn't Rebbe also a Talmud of Rabbi Shimon? So why would he be disagreeing then? If you're telling me that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who in turn follows the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, then Rebbe should also agree with it. Rebbe also learned by Rabbi Shimon. Well, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Omer Rebbe, Shayinu l'meidin Torah et Rabbi Shimon b'Tkoya, when we were learning Torah by Rabbi Akiva, by Rabbi Shimon, in the city of Tkoya, someplace in Eretz Yisrael, someplace in the south of Eretz Yisrael. We're going to talk about, actually, in the Pays, we're going to talk about that. There may have been more than one Tkoya in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know, but in particular, there was one area called Tkoya where oil was produced. It was a rich oil-producing area, and the Gemara mentions, in fact, for that reason, the people over there were great chacham. So maybe that's why... Yeah, olive oil. That maybe... What? Yeah. I don't know if it's in the Chalik of Asher or in the Chalik of Yehuda or what, but whatever, anyway. We'll talk about it on Pays. Yeah. No, olive oil. Okay. So when we were learning the Torah about Rabbi Shimon in Tekoya, if he wanted to bathe or go to the mikveh or whatever on Shabbos, we would bring for him oil and to rub on his skin afterwards and a towel to dry off. Mechotu lagag. Aluntis the towel, yeah. Mechotu lagag, from one chotzer to a roof, umigag lakarpif, and then from that roof to a karpif. A karpif is an enclosed area which is not meant for regular daily activities, so like a park or something. One second, hold on. Umigagwif lakarpif akar, and then from one karpif to another karpif. Ad sha'onu magiyin hamayin chanurisimba, until we reach the spring where we bathe on Shabbos. You're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos, but you're allowed to bathe in cold water. So like this, and the point of this is, the Gemara mentions in Shabbos, there's a couple of chidushim that we learn from this. First of all, there's a concept of Shimon himself holds in a Mishnah in Eruvin, it was recently in Shlosh HaProchim of Rambam also, that even though we know in order to carry from one place to another on Shabbos, you need an Eruv Chaseret, however, Rav Shimon says that only applies as far as the houses and the chaser, that only applies about carrying from one house to another or between a house and a chaser. Mm-hmm. However, one second, before you ask, let me explain. Suppose Rav Shimon says the roofs and the carpathos and the chaseros themselves are not included in this rule. Therefore, Rav Shimon says, if you have something that at the beginning of Shabbos, let's say, for example, you have this towel. When Shabbos began, it was in somebody's chaser. you would be allowed to take it from there and bring it up onto somebody else's roof, even though there's no eruv between that chotzer and the other house, because the roof is not something that needs to be within an eruv. You could then do it from one roof to the next person's roof, and from that to a character, and so on and so forth. So you could end up carrying it across the whole city, as long as there's no rishut. No, you can't bring it into a house, right? But as long as there's no rishut rabim there, then you'd be allowed to. So that's one thing. Also, Gemara explains in Shabbos over there, you have a Mishnah in Shabbos that says that if you wash yourself on Shabbos, you're not allowed to dry off with a towel because you may come to squeeze it. But over here, we're saying that's not the halacha is not like. Okay, so the point is, Rebbe is saying, I learned by Reb Shimon, and he's describing these halachas that they followed Reb Shimon's opinion, so obviously he would agree with Reb Shimon also. So what are you telling me? That only the laws of Reb Shimon agrees with Reb Shimon, and Rebbe doesn't. The answer is, Sovalaki idach to Reb Shimon. Okay, but Rebbe says, very nice, we have the statement, we have Reb Shimon, who presumably follows Reb Akiva, in saying that only a mitzvah that has to be done on Shabbos is Doicha Shabbos, and therefore, if Sira Omer is Doicha Shabbos, it must be something that can only be done on Friday night. Yeah. However, that was Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. However, Rebbe says, yes, but I have another statement of Reb Shimon, which I follow. Namely, the Amr D'Tanya, we learn in another place, the Amr Reb Shimon, Boyer E Kam Chaviva Mitzvah V'Shaike. Come see how precious is a mitzvah that's done in its proper time. Meaning, in other words, so therefore, even in other words, as far as the Ksira Omer, even though maybe in principle it could have been done on Erev Shabbos, nevertheless, Chaviva Mitzvah V'Shaita, it's better to do it in its proper time and be Doicha Shabbos. When it comes to Mila, when it comes to bringing the knife for a Mila, that's different because there's no specific time when ideally it should be brought. There's no Hidur mitzvah in bringing it on Shabbos versus bringing it on Erev Shabbos. There's no specific time. There's no zman kavua for it. As opposed to the harvesting the Omer, Rebbe is saying, Reb Shimon is saying like this, that it's true maybe that you could harvest the grain for the Omer the day before or 2 days before or whatever. However, the ideal time for it, everybody agrees, the ideal time for it is the night before the Omer is brought. So therefore, Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita applies, and therefore we would say, even though it's something that, so not like Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, who says that Davka has to be done that night, and that's why it's Doicha Shabbos. No, the reason it's Doicha Shabbos is because of this concept of Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita, which is also something Reb Shimon says. The Rebbe is also agreeing with Reb Shimon, but a different statement of Reb Shimon. And he continues, Sharei Hechter Chalavim Ve'Ivarim Shem Kalalaila, because consider, when it comes to burning the leftover fat and the leftover limbs of Korbanus, you could do it any time during the night.
Almost the same thing.
No one second. Okay, so listen. When it comes to Hechter Chalavim Ve'Ivarim Shem Kalalaila, the fact is they are kosher done all night, as we said before, and yet, the Lord had a mantle, Mahanat Shekhsha. Yet, when it came to the Korbanos of Shabbos, we didn't say, well, let's avoid being Mechal or Shabbos, burning them on the Mizbeach. Let's wait till Mosheh Shabbos, since they're kosher anyway. No, Chaviva Mitzvah V'Shaita tells us that we should still L'Hatchila burn them on Shabbos. Yeah. Because that's what it is, Chaviva Mitzvah V'Shaita. So in other words, they brought these Korbanos themselves on Shabbos. They brought these korbanos themselves on Shabbos, they shechted them, they sprinkled the blood, they cut them open, etc., etc. And therefore, Reb Shimon is saying, on the basis of the concept of Chaviva Mitzvah V'Shaita, you also say that even the part of the korban that could have been left for most of Shabbos, nevertheless can be done on Shabbos. So now, when the Chaviva Mitzvah V'Shaita, mitzvah is precious when it's done and it's proper in its ideal time. Because the ideal time is to burn the fat and everything on the same day the korban was brought.
In one sense, and the Empire is saying that if you can do it before Shabbos, you have to do it before Shabbos.
That's the thing. So according to Rebbe's understanding, according to Reb Shimon's concept of Chaviva Mitzvah V'Shaita, which Rebbe is following, we would say, we would make a distinction between, is it something where the ideal time is to be done on Shabbos, but it could be kosher before or after that, before in the case of the Ksirat HaOmer, and after in the case of Chalavim Ve'Varim, or is it something where there's no particular ideal thing of doing it on Shabbos versus a weekday, such as bringing the knife for the Mila. Bringing the knife for the Mila, ain los man kavur, Rashi says. There's no particular time when you say you have to bring the knife. Bringing it on Shabbos, if it were allowed to, versus bringing it on Friday, versus bringing it on Thursday, it's all the same thing. There's no particular hiddur in doing it at one time versus another. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva is saying it can't be done for Shabbos. But Ksiras HaOmer, given that if Tzayin Nissan is on Shabbos, the ideal time to do the Ksira is Friday night, Rebbe would say, even though it is in fact kosher if you would do it Friday day or Thursday night or Wednesday day or whatever, nevertheless, Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita tells us we should still do it Friday night. Same thing with Hekra Chalom Ve'Varim. So therefore, he would disagree with Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon would draw the line very narrowly. He would say, if it's something that has to be done on Shabbos and can't be done any other time, is it Zerich HaShabbos? Therefore, if we know that Siddur HaOmer is Zerich HaShabbos, it must be that it can only be done that night, and therefore any other time it'll be possible. Rebbe would say, I draw the line more broadly, as long as it's something where Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita, where there's a preferred time to do it, and that time happens to be on Shabbos, then that's good enough for it to be done for Shabbos.
Ah, but it's not what Rabbi Akiva is saying.
Rabbi Akiva has said that any mitzvah Esher Loi Lassos may have Shabbos. So Rebbe would understand that rule to Esher Shabbos would mean that there's no difference between doing it on Shabbos versus a weekday. There's no hiddur in bringing a knife on Shabbos versus a weekday, whereas there is, it's Esher, of course, it's possible to do the Siddur HaOmer at a different time, but it's not, ideally, you still do it that night. And therefore, so Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon. So what is Rebbe Elazar, why does Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon disagree with that concept? So the answer is Lo Shmielei. So the answer is, okay, he didn't hear, that's a question. Now, does Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon Lo Shmielei? So what are you telling me? Then the question comes back on Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon. If Rebbe is following this concept of Chaviva Mitzvah L'Shaita that Rebbe Shimon said, what, Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon didn't hear that verse from his own father?
In other words, Rebbe said, Esha means what's possible, not what's...
Rebbe says Esher means what's ideal versus it doesn't make a difference.
No.
Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon would say that it's
obligated.
Right. Okay, so that's the question. Now, why is Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon has to agree Chaviva Mitzvah L'Shaita, so why would he draw this distinction? El or no, we would say like this, shiny wholesome. He would say, you're trying to bring a proof from Hekter Chalovim Ve'Varim, but that's not really a proof. Shaita doch the Shchita as a Shabbos, because after all, what you have there is, you already would do for Shabbos in order to shech the animal, and the shchita obviously has to be done on Shabbos. Once you're already in a situation where you can be doicha Shabbos as far as shchita, then fine, we can argue it can also be doicha Shabbos later on to burn the chalav and ve'varim. By the Omer, Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon would take that. Whereas when it comes to the Omer, it's the other way around. You want to say that because later on you're going to be doicha Shabbos to offer the Omer on Shabbos, therefore earlier you should be able to do the ksira on Shabbos, that Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon says that doesn't work. It's not a proof from Hekter Chalom Ve'Varim, where the Shchita comes first and the Hekter comes afterwards, versus here where the Ksira comes first and then the offering of the Omer comes out.
Both of them interpreted what Rebbe Akiva in their own way.
Yes, yes. Okay, so the question is, Ula Rebbe Hochinami Dr. Shchita at the Shabbos, new, then we're back to Rebbe.
Right.
Rebbe also has to agree with that concept, because the difference between what comes first and what comes after.
Right.
Hell, listen, no, we have to say, Kastover Rebbe, Siddur HaOmer, L'Dach HaShabbos. Apparently, Rebbe would hold that, in fact, harvesting the Omer is not Siddur HaShabbos. Rebbe would have to say that, yes, if Tet Zayin Nissen comes down on Shabbos, you don't do the harvesting Friday night. If you don't have a knife, then you go for the beer.
You don't have a knife.
But again, because you could have just as well brought the knife on Friday. You were careless and you forgot to bring the knife on Friday. No. Mitzvah is the eighth day, only if that doesn't involve other... No. Because then, Sheval passing in that case. Rebbe Akiva's rule tells us that only things that have to be done on Shabbos are good for Shabbos. So again, okay, maybe we're saying a little more flexibly. We're saying that maybe if it's something that we're talking about the ideal time to do it on Shabbos versus not, but bringing the knife, there's no ideally done on Shabbos versus any other time. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva's rule tells us not there for Shabbos. It means the bris is going to have to be postponed in that case. Next time, you'll be more careful and bring the knife on Erev Shabbos. That's how it is. All right, so let's finish up the discussion here real quick. So we're saying that Rebbe apparently holds, we have to say therefore that Rebbe is going to hold that harvesting the Omer is not Doicha Shabbos, and that is why Rebbe says it could be done the next day, and similarly Rebbe would also say it could be done a few days before. According to him, there is no particular preference.
Sure, exactly. That's why it has to be done.
The Torah doesn't say specifically about doing it the night before.
That's why he holds it.
So it's not Doicha Shabbos. Okay, so the question is, Lloyd, what do you mean? We said, in the Mishnah, at the beginning of our parish, that the Chachamim say that whether Tet Zayin Nissen is on Shabbos or on a weekday, you harvest three saw of barley, and then from them you sift out the one isar, and that's going to be the Omer. Okay, the answer is the one to Rebbe, right. That Mishnah wouldn't be according to Rebbe. The Gemara doesn't like that, because we would assume that all Mishnayos are according to Rebbe, but sometimes, yes. said, what about the Chamamim, Echad Shabbos, Echad Chol, Vishlosha? What about the Mishnah said that the whether on Shabbos or whether on weekday you have three people doing the harvesting, the Shalosh Kufis, the three baskets, the Shalosh Magolas, the three sickles. Again, we would have to say the Loi Kedevi. The answer is fine. That Mishnah wouldn't be a coin to them. What about the Shabbos, Yom Elohim Shabbos? We said, again, because the point is that's talking about the harvesting Omer. So therefore, so fine, we have to say, Rebbe would, now, according to what we're saying, we would say that Rebbe would disagree with that. So, okay, what about the Shabbos, Yom Elohim Shabbos do? What about, we said at the beginning of the parak, that they make all these announcements, should I use this sickle, should I use this basket, and so forth, and if it's Shabbos, he says, should I do it on Shabbos? And we say yes. And again, the answer is, the Lord to Rebbe. Okay, again, we have to say that part of the missionary is also not like Rebbe. So far, we're saying... because of the Baruch Hashem, fine. But the point still remains that according to Rebbe, none of that would be the case. According to Rebbe, you're not allowed to harvest the Omer on Shabbos. If Tech Zion Nissen comes out on Shabbos, you're going to have to harvest it before Yom Tov. No. The halacha is not like Rebbe in that. The halacha is like the Stam Mishnah that we had earlier, that you do harvest it on Shabbos. Mind you, I mean, that is the halacha. On the other hand, the halacha is also like Rebbe Akiva, that anything that could have been done before Shabbos is not done for Shabbos. So the Noitzei Kalim on the Rambam have a little bit of a hard time understanding how we reconcile all these statements over here.
Well, it's not.
Right.
It's an obligation or it's a possibility.
Right. So there's a lot of explanations why the Rambam would say that. He might say that it's not absolutely required to do it on that night, however, it's still part of the mitzvah. So he might be going according to the Yerushalmi rather than the Babli. A lot of ink has been spilled over this question. All right, so we'll continue tomorrow, guys, then.